Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the many ways standard operating procedures can add value to your e-commerce store. What are some of the recurring problems you encounter while running your business? Do you have regular employee turnover? Are there consistent errors? Are there persistent lapses in communication? Sometimes the core issue is that a company either lacks a clear set of standard operating procedures or it hasn't communicated them clearly enough to its employees. Today, we'll discuss why you should consider putting your standard operating procedures in writing and how to integrate them into the regular rhythms of your business. On today's episode, you'll hear a clear explanation of the content and purpose of standard operating procedures. These procedures are a set of common instructions for everyone to follow, and the purpose is to make sure that everyone does things the same way. Next, we'll discuss the main advantages standard operating procedures provide. While there are many benefits to implementing these procedures, the main ones include reducing unforced errors, facilitating communication across your company, and creating a higher degree of accountability. After that, we'll talk about how to apply standard operating procedures in an e-commerce setting. One of the main ways to approach standard operating procedures is to think about your customer experience. Having a common set of procedures for customer interactions means that your team will know how to respond to different situations and that your customers won't get different answers every time they call. This can all be achieved by clearly defining and recording your procedures and distributing them to your team. Then, we'll share some tips on how to write good standard operating procedures. Start by clearly defining when the rules apply and why they are written, so that your employees know how to apply the rules. Then do your best to write down a clear, step-by-step process and include any caveats or exceptions that may apply. Finally, we'll talk about how to use a tool like Process Kit to streamline this process. There are many resources out there to help you create standard operating procedures, but Process Kit has an attractive array of features at a reasonable price point that will make it easier to draft and share these procedures with your team. If you're looking for a simple and efficient way to streamline your business and solve some of your nagging problems, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back to the show. Great to see you again, man.
Good to see you, Ryan.
Thanks. So today we're talking about standard operating procedures, or SOPs, and I know it sounds self-evident, but just so that we're all on the same page, what is a standard operating procedure?
So the goal of having a standard operating procedure is that everybody does it the same way, right? Hence standard, right? Operating procedure is just whatever you do in your business. And so a standard operating procedure is the articulation of the written down form of here's what we do and how we do it, so that everybody can see it and do it the same. I have a friend of mine who runs a company, and I'd say probably every year and a half, he would go through staff, right? There'd be a particular role that he had and it would just turn over. And then a year and a half later, it would turn over, and a year and a half later, it would turn over. And when you dug into it, it turned over because, you know, eventually my buddy just got tired of some of the same issues over and over. And so in his mind, the problem was the employee, right? And so you swap out the employee, you get a new employee, and you're like, ah, this is going to be so much better. But 18 months later, you'd be right back in the same spot, right? And so at some point you sit down and you go, the things that are bothering you about this person, the dynamics, the challenges, et cetera, where is it written down how they're supposed to do their job? Right? Where is it articulate? Well, but you know, we teach everybody, I know, but teaching through osmosis is not really a thing, right? Like you can't just be like, well, I was around them long enough that I figured it out. Mm-hmm. Teaching is a function of saying, let me be clear, right? Let me be articulate. Let me be explicit about how we do things here and why we do things here. And so the more you write it down, the more you present it, the more people go, oh, wow, now that I see this, I can self-correct and I can remove two or three of the problems I've been creating myself. So there's a huge benefit to having this, even if it's just that you don't get frustrated and fire your employees every 18 months, only to discover that it was never their problem, right? It was yours because we hadn't written out, here's how to do the work that we do.
Okay. So since you kind of brought up that benefit thing, let's kind of talk into that a little bit more. What do you see as some of the other main benefits of using standard operating procedures?
Well, you reduce error rate, right? Whatever it is you're doing, if you have, there was now many years ago, decades ago, there was a physician who showed up to one of the doctor conferences, right? Where they bring everybody on the symposium, people on stage, and he gets up on stage and he says, I believe we can save whatever the number was, 1 million lives, 5 million lives this year alone. And all the doctors are like, what are we going to do to save that many lives, right? And he says, I want to introduce a checklist. And any hospital who gets on board, right, with this checklist. And you're like, a checklist? Like, not fancy technology, not a new procedure. Not, and they're like, no. It's a standard operating procedure. It is a checklist that says we do this and we check this and we do this. And by the end of the year, right? And it wasn't every hospital, it wasn't every surgeon that went away, every doctor that went away, or the administrators of hospitals. They didn't all go away and sign up. A select set of hospitals said, okay, we're going to go for it. And by the end of the year, they had gone way past the number that he had set, right? So he had set an aggressive number. They shot way past it. All because of a checklist, right? Because at the core of it, people were dying from stupid little things. Like you didn't check what the prescription was before you gave it to the patient, or you started a surgery and you were working on the wrong leg or the wrong way. Like, you know, the silly things today. We live in a world where none of that happens, right? We, like, my wife had surgery a few months ago, and they come in with a Sharpie and they mark which leg they're going to operate on, right? While they're totally relaxed, while there's no stress or pressure, they mark on the leg. They also have wristbands, right, with scanners, and they scan every time they give her medicine so that they can see it, and what medicines, right? They're scanning the little pill bottle and then they're scanning. And all of this saves lives because it eliminates mistakes. You just create a procedure that just says I do A before B and B before C, and it eliminates mistakes. So that's part of it, right? One of the big benefits is it eliminates mistakes. Another benefit is it helps people talk to each other. If you have the same written procedure down, then you also have the vocabulary for it, right? If I know that it's A, B, C, and D, and I say, hey, I just finished B, the person across from me goes, oh, it's time for C. That's where I get involved. Okay, let's, I know what to do. But if I say, I just finished B, and you look at me like, what's that? I've never heard it called that. I don't know what that is. And I don't know how that affects me. We're going to have problems in communication. And you think, oh, but that doesn't happen. In the realm that we live in, right? When you're talking about e-commerce, or you're like, that doesn't happen. And you're like, it happens all the time. Because these are technical matters. And so what someone calls it, on one side of the house, and someone calls it somewhere else, you might literally walk right past each other and never know, oh, wait, you meant this, right? I didn't realize that's what you meant. So communication becomes a lot cleaner when everybody is playing from the same script. And that's what the standard operating procedure gives you.
Sure.
And maybe the third and useful, most useful benefit past errors in communication is accountability. Right? You can evaluate every person who's doing the job on the same rubric, on the same scorecard, because you're like, okay, this is what we do. You keep missing step three, or you don't do a good job at step four. But now I can see it across everybody and I can go, oh my gosh, right? Compared to everybody, there is a challenge here. And so I can have that accountability. I can come back and say, do you notice we don't have this error rate, or do you notice how long it takes for all these other people? Yours is taking consistently longer. I sat with an employee years ago and I said, hey, he was a contractor. So he came through a contract company and I said, I just want to let you know, I've called the contracting company and I just want to let you know today's your last day. Like we're done. Mm-hmm. No. I'll work all day. I'll work all night. I'll work, you know, I'll work for free. I'll like, please don't, you know, don't send me home. And I'm like, no, the problem isn't that you aren't eager. The problem is that when I look at and compare you against everybody else, it's taking you 3 to 4 times as long as everybody else. So this is just not a good fit, mm-hmm. but I'm able to do that because everybody's doing roughly the same thing. We're turning it around the same period of time. And now it helps me isolate and see that, hey, in comparison, things are taking longer for you. And that highlights an issue. It may mm-hmm. just be you don't know how to do it and I'll show it to you. It may be because this is outside your capacity. It may be because you don't like doing that thing that everyone's doing. And it's just not a good fit. But it allows us to have accountability. It allows us to have a deeper discussion with employees about performance because everybody's running on the same SOP.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I work freelance and one of my companies, we have a standard operating procedure for everything. And what I've felt is that when you have to have a hard conversation with someone, having that standard operating procedure means that it's not like I'm being a jerk to you. It's not like, oh man, Ryan's got issues with me or what, he doesn't like me or whatever. It's like, no, like this isn't me. This is the procedure, right?
Yeah.
It externalizes
exactly.
It.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not the bad guy.
Right.
Procedure may be the bad guy, but either way, I'm holding you up to the procedure, not up to my personal take on why I think you're good or bad. Right.
Right.
My wife homeschools our son and she nags at him because he doesn't show his work in math. Now he's advanced in math. He skipped 2 years of math. And so he's getting into the harder and harder stuff. And now, right, he really does need to show his work, but he's gone this long, he doesn't do it. And she's nagged him this long about it, that he doesn't hear her, right? Mm-hmm. So they're both left in this place of having a fight with each other instead of having a fight with the procedure, right? Like, here's what you have to do and here are the steps. They're not fighting. And so you're like, okay, stop. This isn't a battle between the two. This is a, let's walk through these steps. Let's prove that you've done these steps. And if you ever get a mistake in the math, you can find where the mistake mm-hmm. happened because you can follow the steps and go, ah, here's the spot, right? You can't do that if you don't have it written out.
Right.
So it applies everywhere.
For sure. So let's apply this to the e-commerce space in particular. And I'm thinking about places that probably have virtual workers and freelancers like me. Let's talk about how do we apply standard operating procedures to the e-commerce space?
Absolutely. So in one of the companies that I worked for, when we bought the company, the procedure for doing support, right, was that every single person could solve it in whatever way they wanted to. And so there was no SOP. And as a result, some people would solve the problem and some people would not solve the problem, but just give you a discount. Right. So imagine, right? Like you get two phone calls, two operators, and one is like, okay, let's dig in. Let's see. Okay, I found the settings. Let's change this. Okay, now you have no problem with these transactions. And on the other, right, it was, oh, yeah, I don't know. But you know what? I'm sorry that frustrated you. Let me give you a free month. Mm-hmm. And the experience was wildly different. Mm-hmm. You go, no. When, if you're running an, whether it was a SaaS and you're doing e-commerce transactions or you're running a store, you want every single support person who picks up the phone to do the work in the same way so that when the customer calls and has two or three different interactions with two or three different people, they get the same experience, right? So when it comes to e-commerce, right, what is the return policy? Who is allowed to do an exchange? Can anyone do an exchange? Can they do it at any point in time? Mm-hmm. Is there a window? Do they have to prove something? Do they have to take a picture of something? Do they have to upload? Like, what is the procedure for returns, right? Mm-hmm. What is the procedure for credits.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you give people credit? At what point do you give them? What percentage of credit? When, you know, I went to cancel something on Airbnb, cancel a reservation. Mm-hmm. And it was every single Airbnb property owner gets to articulate their own return policy or their own cancellation policy, which is frustrating, right? Because you go and say, listen, these are extenuating circumstances. I can't do anything about it. And one, I literally, in the span of a week, I canceled two Airbnb reservations. Because of the situation I was in, I could not get to either of those places, and I knew my guests wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. In one, the response was immediate. I got 100% return back, and so sorry for your, you know, for your situation, and no problem. In the other, I got a nope, pound sand. Like, good luck. We took all your money. Thousands of dollars. And we're just like, good luck. So then you have to go through another process, right? And wait a week, and then go through it again, and then escalate it again. And you're like, why are these so different? Mm-hmm. So standard operating procedure when it comes to returns, when it comes to cancellations, when it comes to credit, when it comes to coupon usage. Imagine that someone calls up and says, hey, I just saw the promotion that you were doing in March. And you're like, right, but it's not March anymore. I know, but you were doing that promotion and I got the coupon and I was out of the country. And because I was out of the country or I had no internet, I was on a farm, I was at whatever, I was on a train. And so can I use it now? Do you say yes or do you say no?
Mm-hmm.
What's the policy? Right? Because you don't want to leave it to individuals who are like, you know what? He told me a really nice story. They're like, right. No, we have to have a process by which in e-commerce, our cancellation, our refund, our credit, even, hey, can I get free shipping? Right? Mm-hmm. Free shipping. You're like, yeah. See the banner on the top of the website? It says free shipping for orders after $100. I know, but I'm at 90. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So put $10 more in your cart. Yeah, but I just want to know if there's a way I can get free shipping on 90. And you're like, but I didn't make up the rule. Like, it's 100. You got to get to 100, right? But you'll find employees who are like, oh yeah, here, let me just give you this. I worked in another company where we had coupon codes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a SaaS and you're selling, everything is e-commerce because it's all subscription. You're just trying to close deals, right? In this particular case, there was no people dialing for dollars. It was all inbound. It was demand generation. We sent out emails and people would do trials or they would do webinars and then they want to sign up. And it's all about that sign up. And you go, okay, the sign up process is you go to the form, you fill out your stuff with your credit card and you buy it. Mm-hmm. But there was a little field on the form that had coupon code. And we had a couple sales guys who were, on with people. And every time a chat popped up that they took, or every time they got on a call, the customer said, well, are there any coupons? And the salesperson would pivot and look at a spreadsheet and just find a coupon and give it to them. And you're like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's not. And then another salesperson would be like, no, that is the price. Right. And so two different salespeople, two different interactions.
Yeah.
Right? No, I want everyone to be the same. And mm-hmm. so, In all of that, whether you're talking about coupon use or credits or, refunds or shipping, all of those things are rule driven. There's process to it. How do you put the process down so everybody interacts the same way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm guessing that this is just going to become more and more important as people are working from home more often and people on the same team are sometimes working in different states or different counties, you need everyone to be on the same page somehow, you know?
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, how do you write good standard operating procedures?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
At the core, right? I think you want to articulate here's when the situation applies. So think about it as context.
Okay.
I think you want to have context because people need to know, does this apply now for people who are in a, if you were on a plane and the plane was crashing, one of the things that the pilot and the co-pilot have to do is out of a binder with tons of different standard operating procedures, they have to pick which procedure is right. So when US Airways was landing on the Hudson, right? And they're you know, they've driven through a flock of birds and blown out both engines, and they got to land on the river. The question wasn't, you know, what do we do next, right? The question was, which of these procedures do we use, right? Which one is, and that's where Sully did, Charles Sullenberger did the most work, was to figure out, okay, I can't do that. I'm not sure this is going to work. Pick this one instead, and let's start the process, right? So context is critical. A background of understanding the why, right? Why we do what we do, why you're going to follow the following steps, often helps people own what they're about to do, right? Because it can be frustrating for someone to be like, we don't give discounts on, you know, we don't do free shipping on $100. And they're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, if you tell them what to do, but you don't explain why this is important, they can bristle at and get frustrated with how to do it. So, right. So context, when does this apply? The why, the rationale, right? This is what, you know, this is why we do what we do. And then here are the steps, right? Make the list. Here are the steps. Step one, followed by step two, followed by step three. And then for each step, right, is there additional caveats? Is there additional context? Is there additional information they need to know? So if I'm talking about a, when can I give a customer a coupon, right? When can I give them a discount? Mm-hmm. You might say, okay, step three is give them the code, right? And you go, ah, hold on a second, right? The worst thing you could do is give them a code that doesn't apply to the product that they're on. So they put in the coupon code and it says, this coupon's not valid. Like, you just made them super frustrated. So even though the step says, you know, give them this code, there's a context in here that says, by the way, before you hand out a code, go here, open up this spreadsheet and look at which products it applies to and make sure that the product. Now you're going to say, but that's another step. And you go, yes, but it is helpful, right? In the context of this step, provide that context because it'll stick in their head better than if I just put it as another step, right? So list out the steps, articulate how to do it, add the context to it. And then once you've had it all written, put it in front of people, right? Put it in front of people and let them try it out, because you're going to discover that the way you write, the way you think is not necessarily the way everyone else thinks. I know that in my world, I'm looking at the big picture. And so I'm thinking through all the stuff. And so I'll automate certain pieces by saying, hey, do this. And they go, I don't understand why. And I know you don't understand, but by the time you get to step four, you'll be like, oh my God, now it's all in place. But that's not the way other people think, right? And so I have to say, okay, I've written it the way I would do it. I've written it the way in which I think it's the best way to do it. But now I need you to go try it and see if you can stick with it. Now, by the time they get to step four and they're like, ah, this is perfect, we're good. But if they get to step four and they're like, well, I didn't understand this context when I did step one and two, and so it's not really ready for step, then you're like, okay, it can't work the way I thought it would. So then I got to readjust it, right? Do step four first, then do one and two, and that way you have the context for what you're doing. And so you got to test it out with people that aren't you, right? Because everyone's like, oh, to me, it makes perfect sense. And you're like, yeah, that's not the point of a standard operating procedure.
Right.
The point of a standard operating procedure is that everybody can follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you were saying earlier about communication, like having that procedure facilitates that communication. So you find that the process may not always be as clear as you wanted it to be.
Or as clear as you thought it was. You're
like, as you thought it was. Yeah.
No. Right. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I think a good place to wrap up would be to talk about Process Kit as kind of a resource for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I love this product called Process Kit. Years and years ago, back in 2000, so 20 years ago, we built, a small group of us built a product that was very similar to Process Kit and did it for software developers and sold it to big corporations like Bank of America and Shared Medical Systems that would use it across thousands of developers to build projects faster. And this process repository was very different than using a project management tool. And so for years since then, we ended up selling the company, which was very good. And then I hadn't thought about it afterward. Although the rest of my life has been shaped by the fact that we built this product that was very process centric. And then I discovered Process Kit, right, mm-hmm. as it was being built. And I went, oh my gosh, they're building this thing that I used to love, right? That I spent all my days in, right? Mm-hmm. And I am so thrilled that it exists, right? I'm so thrilled that it's out there, and it's out there for everybody. It's not just, you know, big companies spending hundreds of thousands. We would sell our product for $300,000, you know, for a corporate license. This, thankfully, doesn't cost anywhere near that. Mm-hmm. And so you can say, oh yeah, this is good. I like this. So mm-hmm. Process Kit starts at $50 a month, and it is a tool that allows you to define the process, articulate the steps, articulate the flow, and then make it so that you can say, okay, this is the person who does this step, or this is the person who does this, and this is the flow. And you automate the process by which people do the work that they do. So think about task management on a whole different level, because everybody is working the same. Now, granted, the price goes up as you add more people, and that's that. But when you want to make sure that everybody is singing from the same songbook, mm-hmm. There are very few tools out there like Process Kit. And I know for a fact that most of my agency friends, for example, use other tools for task management, right? They use other project management tools. And you go, yes, until you discover, right? So in the agency world, every project's different. Mm-hmm. Every single project. So of course, task management in project management is just you define for every project, define these things, put them in, whatever. Process Kit is best applied when you're talking about situations where the process is the same and repeatable over and over and over again. Mm. And in that world, you'll discover project management just is more work, right? Project management tools just takes more time, it's more effort. And Process Kit makes it a lot faster and easier. So it's okay. Well worth checking out.
Okay, great. All right, Chris, that's all the time we have. I guess we'll see you on the next episode.
Awesome. Take care. All right.
Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on standard operating procedures and the impact they can have on your online store. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.